And welcome, everybody, as we start overtime here on YouTube. This is Emmanuel. Kyle is over there.
Hi.
And out in Signal Land, we have Rob and Gila and Alex.
Hello. That's correct.
All right. And we might actually be on YouTube. Is that possible?
Waiting for us to catch up, and here we go. Okay, we are live on YouTube.
YouTube is always a little slow. But did they light the tree? Is the tree on fire? Or what's some guy did that? Some guy lit the tree on fire at Rockefeller Center. It was a few years ago. I think it was French or something. And he said, but it's our tradition. It's like, really, to light a huge towering tree in front of a skyscraper on fire? That's your tradition? Yeah, I think it was after Christmas, so at least, you know, it wasn't ruined for the children. But still.
So it was good and dry.
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, I'd like to know if anyone out there can report on the scene, or, you know, maybe someone's listening to us as they're there. Alex, maybe you could check in on the party that you opted not to go to hang out with us instead.
Yeah, I know. What a mistake. Yeah.
How does that work? I mean, are they all staring out the window down all these flights? Is it in the RCA building, whatever they call it now?
Yeah, it is, yeah. So this party's at 75 Rockefeller Center, so I guess it looks right down on this.
Well, is 75 Rockefeller Center, is that the NBC building?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not there, so I don't know.
You would have found out. Maybe it was SNL. Maybe you would have been in one of the studios. You'd be in a sketch or something.
You know, I've never watched SNL.
What are you talking about? You've never watched
it on Saturday. I've seen, like, you know, bits and pieces.
No, that's not possible. You're saying the show that's been on since 1975, you have never watched.
Never watched it while it was live on Saturdays. I didn't even know what channel.
Okay, you're attaching some conditions to this. You didn't watch it live, but you have watched it.
I've seen, like, bits and skits.
No. You've watched an episode of it.
No, I've never watched a full episode.
What the hell's wrong with you? You're a New Yorker and you've never watched SNL?
I'm a New Yorker about doing
Alex,
things.
Some
Saturday
of the
night.
Things you uncover sometimes are really disturbing. This might be the leading contender.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, I eat pizza with a knife and fork or something.
But, I'm beginning to wonder. Rob, I'm not crazy here. There's something seriously wrong here, right?
I have a lot of feelings about all of this, but I would like to point out that the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting extravaganza is running until 10 o'clock this evening, so the tree itself is probably not yet lit.
The hell are they waiting for? What's going on? Just turn it on.
Yeah, that's what I heard, that it's not going to happen until 10 o'clock.
There's singing and dancing, and the Rockettes are performing, and...
No, there's pushing and shoving and a lot of angry people. That's what's happening. It might be nice on TV, but I was in that crowd, and it's not pleasant.
And maybe it's just because I'm not a person who's ever been a Christmas celebrator. I don't get it. I don't understand the point of this evening's event. I don't entirely understand the point of having a gigantic tree and going to look at that gigantic tree, especially if you have a tree in your own house.
It's a bigger tree. It's a bigger tree, and a lot more people are going to look at it.
Right. But also the idea of, like, someone grew this tree in their front yard, and then you killed it.
Yep. That's true.
I don't understand Christmas trees.
Why don't they just plant the big tree in front of Rockefeller Center? Just plant the huge tree there. Then you don't have to do this every year. It's always there. You leave the lights on. You know, people do that all the time. They leave the lights on outside their house. They just don't turn them on. But they don't have to do this every year. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still more interested in this Never Watch Saturday Night Live thing.
Let's
I mean,
get
Alex,
back
were
to
you?
That. This is really upsetting, Alex.
were you just not allowed to stay up that late on Saturday nights? No, I've just never watched it. I've never really had any interest in it.
Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, all these people that you have missed because you never even turned on the damn TV set. And don't tell me you don't know what network it's on. Give me a break.
I have no idea what network
it's
on.
Well, I just pretty much told you tonight when I made reference to the building.
Oh, what, is it NBC?
Yes. Wow. The last horse crosses the finish line. Boy. Yeah. SNL is on NBC. Stay tuned for more fun facts here on Overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always out doing something on Saturday night or sleeping.
See, it's you're like, pivoting now, making it you're too cool to see SNL because you're always out on Saturday night doing something fun, and maybe you're even hanging out at the after party, and you didn't realize there was a TV show before it.
Or I'm at home reading or something.
Reading,
myself,
intellectual, you know. and furthering yourself. Absolutely.
Yeah. Doing productive things as opposed to, you know, watching, I don't know, television and commercials and things. You know,
I'm just trying to think of all the sketches that
he grab the new book, please.
He would not know the punchlines to so many sketches. You know.
I have no idea about any of this.
What do you got there?
What is that?
This is a new book that came out from Mary Ellen Matthews. It's called The Art of the SNL Portrait.
you just have that within reach.
Actually, yes, because I just got it recently. Alex, you need to understand what fighting words you have uttered.
Yeah, pay attention.
I am a bit of an amateur SNL historian. One of my life dreams is to go to the live show. I'm obsessive. I talk about it all the time. So I am just stunned.
What you have said here tonight, Alex, cuts deeply.
Yeah, I guess. Well, look, I don't have any opinions on it because I don't really know very much about it. It could be a great
book. Side note, how did you miss all the 50th anniversary stuff going on last year, including the installation at the 47th 50th Street Rockefeller Center subway stop where they just filled it with Saturday Night Live ephemera for the entire month of February?
I had no idea any of that was happening.
Well,
I had no idea.
You never bothered to ask, did you?
Yeah. I'm never over there either. That's like 20 blocks farther north than I usually ever go.
And we kept you from going there tonight, too. That's the ultimate irony.
Yeah.
You might have wound up learning more about SNL tonight than any of us ever knew.
I feel like I'm being schooled here.
We kept you from. Yeah, well, you will get schooled.
Yeah. Sir.
Yeah. So look, I mean, if you have any recommendations for SNL things that I should watch,
Alex, it's
50 years worth.
That ship has sailed. I mean, seriously, it's the show has been on for 50 years, and you know we can't possibly help you catch up at this point.
Well, maybe you'll have a fun retirement.
You need an intervention that we can't provide, but. Listeners, you're welcome to help out with this.
Let's get
back to the show. We'll deal with Alex later.
I'm sorry, our show or Saturday Night Live?
No. our show here. Good discussion. We had a good discussion, but go ahead. Yes, final point.
Sorry, can I throw in one thing? Alex.
Yes.
If you need to see something that will just encapsulate everything you need to know, a documentary that came out this past year as part of the whole 50th anniversary thing is called Ladies and Gentlemen, 50 Years of Music on Saturday Night Live. Questlove put it together.
Questlove? Okay.
Do you not know who that is?
I have no idea.
Oh, for God's sake.
All right, we have some work to do, but we got to take this offline and get to the rest of what we're doing.
It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. And, you know, it's out of love that we will do the best we can.
Okay, that's a person?
Yes. Have you heard about a band called The Roots?
Yes, I've heard of The Roots, yeah.
Okay, so Questlove is one of the guys in The Roots. He's like the founder and band leader of The Roots.
Okay, gotcha.
And he made a really wonderful documentary about music on Saturday Night Live, and it starts with a 7-minute supercut of a bunch of performances, and it's really, really, really good. But if you, the documentary is, that may be your way in.
Last year, there was a plethora of films and documentaries about the 50th anniversary of SNL, including one fictitious film, which I recommend seeing as well.
Mm-hmm.
It just tells you so much about the culture and about how so many people came up because of that show. And it made a huge difference in New York and just in the entertainment world in general. Rob?
And I want to give a shout-out to a stage play that's actually closing on the 7th of this month called Not Ready for Prime Time. Gila surprised me with this play, tickets to it, and it is a fictionalized account of the first couple of seasons of the show, and it's very, very good.
And they're selling a shirt that says Medium Talent, which...
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
And it's playing on. It's in a small theater on the west side.
Interesting. I mean, I had no idea about any of this 50th anniversary stuff or whatnot, so... I mean, it escapes me. I guess this is a function of living in the age of algorithms these days because I've never watched it before, so I've never confronted with it in any of my feeds or anything like that. So
I think that this is a great example just of how we're all really smart people, but we have different interests. We're busy. And we can't know all of everything. We all have something to offer and share with one another, and that's part of what this discussion is all about.
50 years, Kyle. 50 years of a show, and he has no clue.
I know, but there's probably a show or a phenomena.
How does that happen? I'd like to use that skill. I really would. I'd like to be able to ignore something for 50 years, you know? And you're right. There are massive gaps with all of us that would surprise everyone else if it only came out.
I find this when I talk to smart people, when I'm around hackers, when I'm around other people that have areas of expertise, you might make an assumption. Like we were talking about VPNs earlier, like that's built into the internet protocol.
Right.
The hidden services of the Onion Network, that was built after the internet protocol.
True.
The same facts of history are why a VPN doesn't necessarily have to be something that you get from a different provider. You can make a machine or a system yourself and host your own VPN and access it through the protocol and address that port and communicate with all your own equipment using your own virtual private network. So it's this interesting thing. We make assumptions when we talk about things, but some people know a little bit more about the history. Some people know a little bit more about, like I said, or like we were talking about, different cultural phenomena. It is exciting when we share and we learn things, and we even like take joy in the fact that we can be honest and say, like, hey, I don't know about that. Tell me more about that. And you get turned on to different things. And that's so much of what people that are passionate about different things are able to do. That's what they bring to the conversation, is these sort of exciting turns and interesting things of like, oh, wow, I didn't know that I could share that and that you would get something out of it. So it's cool to hear in conversation.
It's so true. I remember, you know, the early days, there were people who were into computers and people who were into phones. And very often, the people who were into computers had no clue how to even make a phone call, you know, using different long-distance companies and things like that. There's just, a finite amount of room in your brain. And you can be an expert in one thing, but not something else. And like Kyle said, you know, when he talks to smart people, not realizing that he's a smart person himself, there are certain things that they might not know that you can teach them about. Dare I say, brain surgeons don't know the first thing about how to fix a car. You know, and car mechanics are dealing with things that are so damn intricate these days, they might as well be brain surgeons. So, yeah.
There's a vastness to this, and I think it was pointed out, too, in the conversation, is that this is the algorithmic age, but it's also just the information age writ large. There's so much content. There's so much to know about out there. And so much being, so many different things going on, that you don't want to be sort of narrow, you don't want to be overloaded, but narrowing it, it just doesn't seem as exciting as learning about all kinds of different things and getting an understanding of the world of information out there and it's all its varied wackiness. Which extends to the other conversation we were having. So it's really cool. I'm ready with the equipment too. If that was opening up.
The phone line is not yet turned off. We have some exciting bits of news.
Oh yeah.
First of all, we're not going to be here. Kyle and I aren't going to be here for the for overtime, or for the in person show for a little while. But you're in good hands. Don't worry. But this is the last overtime of the year because we have the studio and I don't think anybody else wants to do this. We'll be back as soon as we possibly can. What else? The Voice BBS, it's been released as flash drives. I know some people want it immediately delivered to them. We're talking about thousands of files here, and we don't have the setup for that, not yet, but we're working on it. But for now, those of you who want to hear the 2600 Voice BBS, you can. It just comes on a flash drive, which is really cool. It looks great. I cannot believe how well it turned out. And boy, is there some entertainment there that will keep you listening for hours and hours and hours. We also have the HOPE videos from the most previous conference, HOPE 16, That has just been released. So, again, flash drives. That will be on YouTube. If people want everything for free, yes, it's going to be on YouTube. It takes a lot of work to put it on YouTube. Probably we're looking at sometime January or after, if we catch a break and we're able to spend hours uploading and refining and dealing with Google's problems and, the usual crap. But it is available now on a flash drive, fully copyable and all that. We also have our holiday specials up on 2600. Oh, the new thing we've introduced. You want to talk about this, Carl? This is amazing.
Do I ever?
Never in my life did I think we'd be offering something like this. But boy, it's causing a stir.
I believe it started with an over-caffeinated conversation. Maybe just caffeinated enough.
Kyle and I go to various coffee shops, and we get involved in these back-and-forth discussions. Usually end up with us both standing up and like talking in an animated tone, and other people staring at us with some concern. But what comes out when we're ushered out of the place is usually a plan to do something better or with a different direction. And this is one of the things that came from that.
Yeah, basically there had been, I had been looking around at some of the facilities and noticed that I needed this new type of thing, and then I started thinking about it, and I was like, wow, what if I had one that was custom, and then I realized, why aren't we doing this? So I came up with, and then I mentioned it in this caffeinated conversation at a coffee shop. What if we printed on some kind of like home decor item? And anyway, I was like looking around, and we were able to do this in a similar way. We started offering T-shirts with the cover design, and I asked you, what do you think about us offering a shower curtain for the holiday special?
A shower curtain, yeah. A hacker shower curtain. What the hell are you talking about, Kyle? What is that?
The one I was looking at was like deteriorated. It was falling apart. It was really in need of an upgrade. And you can do different designs. And then I realized, well, maybe the same way we offer these other designs, maybe we could just offer it. Turns out it's a new product, new item that we're trying out and that is being offered through this process. It is a heat transfer sublimination process, if you want to know, similar to direct-to-garment printing methods that we've used for other merchandise. So, yeah, we looked into it and then compiled the artwork to give it a test, and it looks really, really good for how large of design, and it's again something that is novel, and I didn't know you could print something this large and have it be durable. So we're giving it a try, and hopefully if people are interested in it, they can check that out too.
Gila. Go ahead, Gail.
Hi. So the thing I was thinking is that we actually have in our home a fun customized shower curtain that Rob got for me because he's lovely. And no, I think it's a great idea, Kyle. I'm just sorry we only have one bathroom.
Yeah, there's I don't know what the tie-in. It's very random, but I wanted to play around. I thought maybe this could be a fun thing to do. I would love to display the art that we have and even other designs, and offer that in really like high resolution. But it was also just basically out of necessity and like upkeep that this idea came up, and it actually exists now. So I'm very proud of it, but we'll see. It's kind of unusual. I know there was a scene, I think, speaking of tie-ins, I think in Hackers, Joey gets pulled out when the cops mm-hmm. raid them.
Yeah, well, the last cover of the magazine is an allusion to that.
Yes, it is a rendition, a rendering of that. I believe that. I haven't rewatched that scene or found animation of it, but And also just, I feel like, you know, we are all, you know, adults in this lovely hacking world, and very, very much cleaner than I think the stereotype may have. Mm-hmm. And if not, then maybe this will incentivize people who are in need of that. But, you know, I just wanted to push back against that, too, because there's some people like being clean. And
well, I should point out some concern that I was notified of. These shower curtains have a leak. Yeah, they do. They have a leak in them. Do you know what that leak is? It's the next cover of the next magazine that has not come out yet, and there's a damn leak on our shower curtain because that cover is there. Yeah.
I almost forgot. Yeah, you're
right.
That's
rare. In fact, if you looked at the preview, you can probably make out part of it, but you won't get the whole thing unless you get the shower curtain or the issue next month. We've never done that before, and we didn't mean to do that.
No, it was a necessity of coming up with that, and in advance, the timing of it, we wanted to be able to offer it, and so we were able to get an early, I think, earlier version, but it's pretty close to the final rendering, and everything just worked out just in time, so we hope that makes people happy.
Cheeseburger. Nothing.
Where?
No, I'm just trying to see if Alex is lying to us.
He brought a snack?
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you, Alex? One of the greatest sketches of all time, cheeseburger, and you don't know it.
Cheeseburger, sounds brilliant.
There was so much work to do.
Yes.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood with Eddie Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
No?
I think I've seen bits of that.
You walked away in the middle of it?
It sounds somewhat familiar.
Black Jeopardy,
no.
Oh, my God.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, I've seen the movie.
Yeah, where do you think the movie came from? I'm sorry. I promise I was...
No idea.
Coneheads, though?
It's not your fault.
Coneheads.
Coneheads. Was it like the alien thing?
Oh,
are they aliens or something?
No, they came from France.
They come from France, yes.
Oh, same thing. Yeah, different type of alien.
More cowbell? Yeah. More cowbell, do you know that?
No.
Oh, Lord.
No, I remember like the Conehead stuff. Maybe that was like a 90s thing, right? Was that in the 90s, perhaps?
It transcends decades, Alex. It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Apparently it does, yeah. Well, I've got a lot of catching up to do.
There are people living in mud huts.
I'm just saying I don't know.
There are people living in mud huts in various parts of the world who know more about this, much more than you do. And you live blocks away from this, from the magic.
Yeah. But look, I don't have any judgment about the show. Like unlike many things, I don't have many judgments or opinions about the show because I haven't really seen it. I'm sure it's great. I just don't know it.
Right. No, and, you know, it's our failing in a way. All these times, we haven't made enough allusions to it to get you to be interested. And we could have.
You know, I could have been there. Saturday nights, sitting home by the fire, reading Ulysses.
I've known you since the 1990s. That's more than half of SNL's life that you could have experienced had I only made more references.
If you never turned me on to it. So, you know, it's partly your fault.
I
will, however, say this. You know, after Overtime ended last week and we were having a conversation about various shows and things, Gila did give me a recommendation for a show called I Think You Should Leave.
Mm-hmm.
It was all this recommendation. I have watched the entirety of that show within the last week now because I thought it was so absolutely hilarious. And I watched it with my 12-year-old son. I mean, some bits of this were totally inappropriate to watch with a 12-year-old, but we have been cracking up. I mean, and that show I think is absolutely brilliant in the absurdity of everything that's happening. And it, there's profundity within the absurdity. And so I'm open-minded here. I'm willing to try new things and learn new things and admit when I'm wrong about various things. You know,
the main fellow on I Think You Should Leave was part of Saturday Night Live until he left and did his own thing.
For a year.
There's no escape, Alex, because everything around you is SNL.
There you go. Eventually, it'll all go back there.
Each of us were on SNL for at least one season, and you didn't even know that.
I wouldn't have known if that were the case. Yep.
We were hoping you'd notice. We were hoping you'd say something. You never did.
Yeah, I guess I'm the odd man out here, huh?
God's sake, turn on the damn TV. That's all we're saying.
Yeah,
our friend Mitch Altman would back us up on that, too. You want a funny show, Portlandia. Watch Portlandia. That's funny.
That's a good one. Yes, I've seen that.
And anyone who says that lefties can't make fun of themselves is wrong. Watch that show, and you'll see. It's something incredible. And Big Mouth, oh, my God. Speaking of sex education and pornography and all that stuff, Big Mouth is genius. Animation with all kinds of great voice actors, and it's all about kids experiencing sexuality for the first time. Growing up, what every kid should see, I think. An adult.
Right. Absolutely agreed. And also, if you have not seen Human Resources, which is the spinoff of Big Mouth.
A short-lived spinoff, yes.
Also very, very good.
Yeah. Well, shall we take phone calls? I'm going to turn on the phone line. Remember last week, though, it didn't work, even though I turned it on. For some reason, something at Google was broken, and I had to turn it off and turn it on again, literally, and that worked. So 802-321-4225, the phone line is not on. The phone line is now on. So if you wound up in voicemail hell, that's why. 802-321-4225, and note that it might not work still, because they seem to be having some problems down there. So we'll wait for the phone to ring, and hopefully somebody will say something while I'm double-checking.
But while we're waiting for that to all happen, there's a lot of chatter in the YouTube chat, a lot of SNL references being thrown around in the YouTube chat, each of which makes me happy.
We did have a user ask if Alex grew up without TV, which we know is not true. Yeah.
Well, I grew up with a TV. Yeah, I did. And I am okay. If somebody else was asking. Thanks for the concern.
I almost feel like, you know, this is something that SNL themselves should get involved in, and maybe, you know, bring Alex to the show and embarrass him on national TV as somebody who has never seen the program. And maybe we can get in too. That'd be nice. Okay.
I'm all for it.
We have our first phone call. It's a dial tone. Thank you, Kyle. Is somebody pranking us? Is that what's going on? We know it's Rebel. For God's sake, it's always Rebel.
It was the first call that, you know.
If it's not Rebel, we should be concerned. So,
but I had a hunch. I don't know what tipped me off. But they are not on the phone line. The phone line is open right now. Anyone can call. Anyone that can hear us, please, anyone can call. Also, we might take that other call, but anyone can call if people want to use a telephone.
Someone is calling, Kyle. And remember, we have an improved phone system now. Thank you again, Kyle, for setting that up. No hum. And as of last week, people could hear me, too, which was amazing. But they can hear everybody, which is a new feature that we didn't have before.
Yes, we've improved a little bit, and I just want everything to work really well and be, you know, normal and pleasant so that we can have those conversations I was talking about that are so exciting.
Yes, and good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Hello, Rebel. How are you? It's always such a surprise. Okay. A surprise to hear your voice. Rebel, you've watched SNL, right?
I have seen it, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay, I noticed that I demonstrated this last time about the fact that sometimes, I remember, I've been listening to the old Off the Hooks lately, you know, the ones from the 90s. Uh-huh.
Well, you called those shows every night, too.
Right, and I remember, I just like the way you, like, call different places and entities and operators and different things. And I was just noticing that on digital switching, when you call certain things, like mainly like toll-free numbers, I'm not talking about operators and information and things like that because they usually pick up right away without a ring. Sometimes they ring when they're busy. But I'm talking about like 800 numbers that belong to different businesses and entities. Sometimes it'll ring. Sometimes it won't. Now I have a demonstration of one that does ring and one that doesn't.
Okay, and you're going to play that for us.
Yes, we will play it right now.
All right, all right. You know what? It's a holiday season. I'm going to be patient. Go ahead.
Okay. I can't think this one rings. Let's see. This is this one will ring. This is going to, like, Greyhound bus. Like this.
Welcome to Greyhound. For English.
Notice how that rung?
How that rung? It just rang half a ring.
It rung, and then it picked up. Now I'll call.
You just demonstrated a telephone call. I mean,
yeah,
we've experienced
call,
that. But, okay, go ahead.
That was, yeah, but it rung. But now I'll call a number that does not ring. Let's try this.
Hi, I'm Julie.
Wait a minute. I heard a ring.
That ring. Yeah, that was wrong. Okay,
you messed up, Rebel, the whole thing.
This is the one that doesn't work. Okay. All right. Now, that rings. That's Amtrak and that's that. This has not been, I'm not playing any edited video or recording.
No, that's obvious. That's obvious. You're messing this up live on the air. I know.
No, I'm not messing it up. I'm not doing this on purpose. I'm not playing any recording.
I heard a ring. You said there would be no ring. I heard a ring.
I'm going to call AT&T now, customer service, and you'll hear what happens now. Now I'm calling it now. Oh, that one hit me.
Rebel, you are off your game tonight. I don't know what's going on.
Let's try something here.
Let's try every phone number until you get one that doesn't ring.
All right, just let's see. Okay, let's try this one. That one rung too. What is going on here?
I don't know, Rebel. The phone network has turned against you.
I'm told you only have
two more chances. That's all it,
right,
and that the clock runs out.
I have an idea.
All right. My point is...
Hold on a second, Rebel. Alex
What's
is speaking
point?
To you, and we know that you can hear him now. So, Alex, go ahead.
Rebel, try 1-800-288-2880. See if it rings.
That's AT&T.
Okay, that's AT&T. Yeah, you told me that. I forgot about that.
All right.
Try that.
Go ahead.
But
he doesn't know what SNL is, so don't take what he says for
Okay, hold on. Let's try this one.
Telecom operator services.
Wow. Wait, why is it a telecom? Hang on. How did 288-2880, which is ATT 0, how did that turn into a telecall?
Exactly.
No, explain it to me. I want to know.
AT&T, obviously.
Remember 1-800-CALLATT-800-225-5288? Call ATT. Listen to what happens when you call that.
Oh, my God.
Is he calling that now?
Oh, that rang too. See, that one rung. See, that one rung. The other one didn't.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
Okay. So the point is that, I guess, is that a digital switching thing? Like, why does it sometimes ring first and then sometimes it doesn't?
Do you know where your central office is?
No, I don't know. I mean, I know where my central
office is. Okay. That's where I'm at. That's literally what I asked. Okay. We suggest... you know where it is. Go to the central office, knock on the door, and ask them why that happens, and you will get an answer.
No, how about going to the 2600 meeting this Friday and asking them?
That's a good idea. That's and fair warning to the people going there. Go ahead.
I think this is a worthy question. It's interesting. I don't know if knocking on the door is going to get the fastest answer. I think there's probably a good explanation. I don't know. I'm not saying I know exactly. I theorize that each of those different entities provides their connection in a certain way or provisions it in a certain way, and maybe that is when it hands off that something's going on there when it's making that connection that's in maybe a timing synchronization thing or something where that call setup interferes with the ring or doesn't, like you're noticing. I would experiment more, though, because that may not be true at all.
It might not be a ring at all. It might be part of the recording. You know, people do that.
No, it's not part of the recording.
How do you know? How do you know? It sounds the same every time.
FS7 thing? Maybe it's an FS7 thing.
I don't know. There's no way we can know. There really is no way to know this.
What I was getting at is that it may be that some are hosted in one way, some actually have a path through a line that they lease, or some in some way that it could just be an idiosyncrasy or some nuance of the differences of how each of those entities are set up, and it's either on site, like co-located in some way, or nearby, or maybe has multiple.
Thanks for calling Choice Hotels.
Okay, that one had no ring.
No ring.
Yeah.
That had no ring, yeah.
I'm not kidding. The people in the switching centers are the ones who know the answer to it. Go to phone museums and ask them, but there are people who know these things.
You know what? That's a good idea. I'll ask the telephone museum in Seattle. That's a good idea.
Or the one on Long Island. There's one there, too, in Comac, I believe.
No, I have to go. But you know what?
Wait, it's easy for you to go to Seattle from Queens and then go to Long Island?
Actually, yeah. I'll inquire about the one on Long Island. What is it called?
I don't know, the Long Island Phone Museum, something like that.
The Long Island Phone Museum. All right, so we'll inquire about that. Now, I also noticed that when you call certain things, like what I would call different things, like what you called in the 90s, like 1-800-549-X or 1-800, you know, things that used to be like 9X and different things that don't exist anymore, like cable and wireless and
right.
And working assets long distance. This is what happens when you call all those numbers. Like any number that I, you know, hear that you mentioned back when I was listening to the videos, to the shows, I mean, to call all these numbers, and this is what you hear.
This call may be recorded for quality assurance. We have a special promotion today for select callers. If you are over 50, please press 1 now.
Okay. So that's what you
didn't
for.
You demonstrate this for us last week? And you've been asking this question week after week. So, you know, I don't know what we're gaining here. We don't know any more than we did last week. So,
yeah. Other people in the chat know.
Well, or somebody can call in, or somebody can write in, oth@2600.com. Alex seems to have an answer. Go ahead, Alex.
I mean, I think the answer is obvious, unless I'm missing something, is that these numbers that used to be popular in the 90s, when these companies became defunct, they lost the asset that was the telephone number, and they were scooped up by presumably some uniform type of scammer system that bought this 800 number. And now, Rebel, I'm guessing you're saying they all ring into the same pre-recorded message. Is that correct?
Well, either that message or something similar, some other kind of thing.
Right, some kind of advertisement type thing. So the numbers
like
were released.
When you call a wrong number now, it says, like, the number you have reached is not in service, but we can help you find another number in the area. Hold on while we check. You know, things like that. That's what they do now. Like when you call a business that's like they disconnect their number.
Yeah. What was that sound effect?
You'll play that thing like I don't have a number offhand, but it'll play something like this. Like if you call a number that maybe you used to get, like doo doo doo, the number you have reached 279-3400 is not in service or has been changed. It's not in service. If it's been disconnected, it'll say the number you have reached or is not in service or has been disconnected. However, we can help you find another business in the area. Hold on while we look. And then it'll, you know, like something. And
that's the sound of the technology working. That's what that is.
That's the sound of the tech. Yeah, the thinking.
Rebel, we have to open up the phone line to other people, but this has been very entertaining, and we look forward to doing this again sometime next year.
And we look forward to seeing you at the 2600 meeting.
Yeah, well, keep looking forward to that. Yes.
Lease lines. Lease lines. How did that work? Data lines.
Is the question that we will take up next time we talk to you. Good night. That's it from Rebel this week. And Rob, you have something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to throw in that the Long Island Telephone Museum can be found, their website can be found at longislandtelephonemuseum.com. And it's got the info for, they're located in Comac, and it's got their contact info and hours and everything there. And it looks like an interesting place. I'll have to check this out sometime.
Yeah, I was pretty close to the name. I really was. So Long Island Telephone Museum. Okay. And Alex, you know, when you said, unless I'm missing something, boy, I was so tempted to say, like, every episode of SNL.
Well, there you go. I
did hold back until now. But that I also, in that period of time, while I was restraining myself, I looked up how many episodes of SNL there have been. Anybody like to guess?
Let's see.
It doesn't matter if you'd like to or not. I'm asking you to guess. Go ahead, Gila.
It's over 1,000.
Okay. 2,500.
You go get to guess, Alex.
Well, it's 50 years, 52 weeks in a year.
Rob?
It's on weekly. It's about 2,500.
Rob?
Oh, God.
I'll say less than that because they're only on for part of the year with new episodes. So I'll say around 1,500.
Uh-huh. Okay, and Kyle?
Oh, my gosh. You caught me off guard. I was
three people guessed in front of you.
I was doing some engineering stuff. How many episodes?
Yeah, of SNL.
Total.
Yeah.
4,000. I don't know.
You know, I asked Google, and what's weird is when you ask Google how many SNL episodes have been made, it says 991. And then if you read below that AI overview, as of late 2025, there have been 1,012 SNL episodes. So I don't understand what the 991 is. It says that in big type, but then it tells you that something completely different. This number includes all episodes up to and including season 50, which concluded in May 2025. But I think Gila, you're right. It's over 1,000.
Oh, so does that mean that according to Price is Right rules, I win Saturday Night Live?
I think you do. What I was hoping for was to know when the 1,000th episode would be, but apparently that already happened.
Hang on. Well, it was interesting because the second episode this season was on the 50th anniversary of the first, which is pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, well, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hopefully the new 2,600...
you just turned into a robot. All we got was hopefully the new 2,600. Can you come back down to Earth so that we can understand you? It's pretty cool. I like the sound of this voice, but we're not able to understand any of that. What do you think makes that happen? It almost sounds like music, doesn't it?
It does. I could dance to it.
All right. Well, you know, we'll give you some time to move to a better place where we can hear you. Maybe it's a transmitter of some sort, or dare I say, maybe use a landline.
I'm calling the regular number.
There you go. Okay, you're back. So finish your sentence that you started with.
Hopefully the new 2,600 shower curtain will inspire you to watch some pornography on your smart shower tap.
All right.
Absolutely. I'm sure many, many different activities will take place behind those curtains, and it is a curtain that can be used for all kinds of purposes, but yeah, I hope people enjoy it.
That's some good, clean fun.
Now, remember, the 2,600 covers are visible from outside the shower, not from inside the shower, except in reverse.
It depends. I don't know.
Because shower curtains don't work that way.
Well, there could be, like, depending on the lighting, we don't know. Like, this is yet to be seen.
Every shower is different.
If people have lighting in certain ways, you might be able to see the reverse of the image, like, sort of projected. It's not printed on the other side.
You know what I love, though, when we were like researching this, the suppliers of the shower curtains, they say it's waterproof. Oh, no, water resistant.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a shower curtain. It damn well better be.
What if I want my shower curtain to be absorbent?
Well, direct us to an absorbent shower curtain and we'll look into that.
I know. I don't really like things that are hydrophobic.
I think you're looking for a towel.
I guess.
Yeah, you know what? Layer it up. You know, you can add other parts to your whole decor there. It's really up to you. This could just be a nice sort of outer layer. So we're interested to see what people do with them. I was wondering if people will, like, upcycle them, like basically cut up the shower curtain and turn it into something else. That would be kind of cool.
Why don't you cut up your shower curtain?
Well, because you could
cut up your shower curtain and turn it into a 2600 magazine.
Well, you could, hold on, you don't have to do that.
I mean, if you get tired of it as a shower curtain and you decide you want to make some pillows, I don't know. Do whatever you want.
Cut up the shower curtain and sell it as a limited edition item.
Why would someone ever get tired of the shower curtain?
I don't know, but maybe they want to turn it into something else. I don't know. Maybe they want to make, like, two window curtains out of it.
No, the shower curtain has existed for literally 2 days now, and already you're cutting it up.
I'm just curious what people do with it. It's such a cool... I think the finish is really nice. It'll look cool no matter what you do with it.
Anyway, we didn't give out the address, store.2600.com, to find all of this stuff. And
I can't believe we're talking about this.
It's pretty cool. Oh, and also, people were asking about the conference. We're still kicked out of St. John's. That's not changing. I wouldn't be comfortable going back there anyway with that kind of judgment of speech and things like that. But... good news is there are many other locations we are looking at in the New York area, too. So stay tuned. We will know more in the weeks ahead and keep planning for this summer. We'll find out if we can keep the dates that we already planned for. And if not, it'll be a different date. But we'll be figuring things out. So don't give up. Don't give up. There will be hope of one sort or another. Anything else, caller?
About the robot voice that you heard me supposedly at the beginning of the call.
Yeah, that was really cool.
If somebody wants to, like, simulate that effect, what I believe is happening is that it's like the... what it is that, you know, when you drop your packets or whatever, the waveform of the audio, it gets stuck. It holds that waveform, but then it decreases the volume. So same static waveform... volume goes down, sort of like a string pluck, and then you just like update the waveform to the every interval, so it just keeps plucking again and again. And I believe that is what that effect is, and how you can replicate that if you so wish.
Wow, okay, what a very helpful suggestion, because I'm sure there are people, you know, making films and documentaries that would love to be able to replicate that sound.
Without cutting open an Ethernet cable and, like, I don't know. Anyways, it's great to see that the voice VBS files are finally up after literal years. I remember listening to the Off the Hook episode that initially talked about these. It's great to have this available and for sale for only $20 at the 2600 store, but have you considered giving these recordings to the Internet Archive or some other place where they are safe?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, anybody can do...
absolutely.
Anybody can do this if they just buy it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is true, too. Anyone else can do that, but that is certainly the intent for Jason and folks at Internet Archive to be able to store these and keep them safe.
Like, you're trying to monetize your history.
But, you know, look, we spent literally years putting this together. I don't know if it's monetizing or just surviving. It would have happened a lot faster if we were monetized more. That's for damn sure. But we're talking about thousands of files here, and we had to go through every single one of them to make sure there wasn't identifying information. Even after, like, 30 years, you still don't want people to reveal their address or their phone number or whatever, because what happened is this system encompassed all of the recordings. Some of them were voicemail recordings, some of them were public BBS recordings, some of them were greetings, and we had to differentiate what was meant to be public and what was not meant to be public and therefore kept from ever becoming public. So, we take that very seriously, and took a lot of time, a lot of effort, but, you know, we're done, and we have a great bit of history now. You're a robot again. There should be a way to, like, translate this, you know? That's definitely percussion, you know? That's a percussion type of a sound right there. All right. Listen, Kraftwerk, we're going to have to go. We'll speak to you next year, hopefully. And Yes. Have a great holiday season.
No.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
You're back. Yes. One more thing. Go ahead.
Oh my! I still have so much more I wanted to get back to with you guys. You know, can you give more details about the machine that was running this BBS? You know, what kind of processor it was.
Well, we can. I don't know if you're emulating Rebel or you just really want us to tell you this. But, Kyle, it was Windows 3.1?
Yeah. This is actually a really good question, and it's a part of the whole thing. And I take issue with your point about our history and what we do with it and how we curate things over time. With everything else in American society, and then we turn around, it's like someone has something to say. When we want to do something, I find that astonishing time and time again. But that aside, I basically recovered this machine from an old data closet, and the power supply had failed, and we scrapped another power supply, actually from like an old Mac, and got it to basically light up where it had not been turning on.
Anyone else would have thrown that machine out, you know, taken it to the landfill. No one else would have even bothered to turn it on and look on it.
I was, like, going through machines and sort of trying to discern what had historic value, what needed to stop taking up space, and what needed to be improved around our facilities, and that was something that took a really long time for me to do. And all I knew is that you had told me that machine did this. I saw the cards in it for the phone lines, which are very large components, nothing, you know, very old circuitry, taking up the entire length of the case. There's two stacks of cards. I think there are four total jacks, maybe five RJ 11 or analog phone connections. So the basic setup fits in a small ATX case, and the one drive that was in it was a very small drive, and it's, you know, old IDE. I think the machine is an early, like, 286, or it could be even older or earlier generation Intel x86 hardware, and that drive, very small drive, I think like megabytes or something, I was told had Windows 3.1. So what we did is pulled that IDE drive a long time ago and tried to mount it on a modern system so that we could copy everything that was on that drive, or otherwise like clone it onto a like thumb drive or SD or other directory on our administrated like work group, and that way we could then save it, back it up, and then process it eventually, which we only figured out because we started sharing a little bit and trying to appeal for a little bit of help, and it took a long time. We mentioned it, I think, twice before someone wrote with instructions to help us, and we had even contacted the manufacturer.
Yeah, they didn't know how to convert their own audio files into something you could listen to today.
Yeah, they were supposed to give me some kind of command line program that I could run, and it like a Windows program that I could run in the command prompt, but it either didn't work or some kind of converter file. The software that they alleged would help us really didn't go anywhere. We just basically hit a wall with them. I mean, we communicated once. We're supposed to maybe get somewhere, and it just sort of fizzled. At that point, the data just sat on our backups and in our directories for a really, really long time until we started getting into the specifics about stuff that you probably know about.
Somebody called the show and said, hey, I know how to convert this particular format into something you can listen to today, into an MP3, and we did it. It turned out to be, I think, too fast at first, and we were able to do it again and slow it down so it looked it sounded normal. And then, you know, that's when the real work began, of going through all these messages and seeing what's there, and then trying to figure out how the hell do we present all this? Because, you know, it's all this audio. How do you – you can't just list a bunch of audio files. So I think, you know, what you'll find is that it's pretty navigable.
And the interesting thing that I think ultimately I was imagining now that we got it to this point is that – as you pointed out, like, it runs a specific software. We're pretty close to both this whole system being able to be, like, emulated, basically. You could potentially do a lot of things, like run the same system software virtually, run the same voicemail system, and include the same prompts. You could set up an original reconstruction of it, because we're including some of the prompts that Emmanuel recorded. But you could also set up a totally different voicemail system with the same prompts using a different sort of scheme, maybe.
That would be weird if they used my voice on some system somewhere.
Again, creativity. I mean, we could set up a new version of it running on a modern voicemail system. There's a lot of interesting things that become possible once it's out there and people can play with it. And you did a really good job trying to make it so that people could play the files and navigate it easily. And I don't know, it's really kind of fascinating, this
and
little time capsule.
You found the box that the Big Mouth software came in. That's what it's called, Big Mouth, which is funny because we just recommended a TV show called Big Mouth. But that's what our voicemail system was called many years earlier. And it came from a company called Talking Technologies. And we have a picture of the box that all of it came in. And it's on the store next to the software.
And the 5-inch floppies are still there. They're still in great condition. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm assuming our license is still good. So if we
I don't know about that.
We wanted to run it again, I'm sure we could. But it's kind of cool because most all the pieces of it, they got saved. They're all there. And it's such an interesting little snapshot of history.
This is why you save things. This is why you reconstruct things. This is why you don't throw things out. That's our lesson for today. Any final words, caller?
So I'm not sure if this is correct that you, Kyle used an Apple power supply to replace the dead one in the voice BBS machine. You said although when you said the case was ATX, because I assumed it was AT, knowing that it was a Windows 3.1 machine. Are you sure it's ATX? Like, no.
How much does this really matter?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get too much in. Okay, maybe I'll save this for next year.
I'll say you might be right. It may have predated ATX. It's an ATX-style tower enclosure, I guess is what you'd say. So the AT may be correct for that size motherboard. And as far as, it's not an Apple power supply per se. It's whomever was supplying the supplier to what was an iMac. And it basically was around the same wattage and more specifically the same connector type for the motherboard I was using. So it kind of did get recycled from an old Mac, which is weird, I know, but I'm pretty sure that's where it came from.
Wow.
Well, now that you're saying an iMac, that sounds like it's an ATX power supply, but we'll talk about this next year. I have one final topic to get to.
Quickly.
Okay.
Remember the Airbus A320 saga, you know, the thing that was going on recently with their computer?
Yeah, they had to, like, put them all into the garage for a little while, and I think they're almost done, if not completely finished.
Yeah, so this is still on topic of the retro computing stuff, because the flight computers in these planes both use microprocessors released in 1982, the Motorola 68010 and the Intel 8186. There we go.
Wow.
So that Intel processor, that might be pretty similar in line to what was running the voice BBS. Now think about that.
Yeah, you might be right.
Wow. Okay. Well, good things last for a long time.
Well, not apparently, since they were affected by solar radiation. So here's the research.
Our voice BBS might be affected by solar radiation. We never tested it.
Well, your voice BBS also doesn't travel thousands of miles up into the atmosphere.
It does if you call it via satellite.
These planes, the Airbus A320s, have two types of computer systems. They have two ELAC units, elevator and aileron computer. So now the elevator in a plane is a small flap on the back that controls the how far up or down it goes, I believe.
Okay.
And then it has three other computers that are called the SEC, spoiler and elevator. So, wait, we have two systems to control two different sets of elevators, but in total that's five computer systems on an Airbus A320. And the one at fault recently has been the ELAC. That one uses the Motorola 68010 microprocessor from 1982.
Wow, okay, well, good to know.
What I want to know, though, is exactly like what was at fault here, because we all know that, you know, a basic computer system, it has ROM, it has RAM. Like, what part of the system was actually affected by the solar radiation? Nobody seems to be talking about this. Was it the ROM? Was it the RAM? Because if it was a RAM fault, well, you simply reset the RAM, well, you're good to go. If it was in ROM, though, because ROM is normally meant to be a read-only memory, well, once you've changed that, that error is going to be continually read out over and over. And what they did, actually, was they say that they upgraded the software on the Airbus ELACs to fix this issue, but what they actually did is downgrade it. Like, the version with the problem was version 104, and now what they're doing, putting them in the garage and fixing it, is downgrading them to 103 plus, so like one version down. And somehow that fixes it.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, that sounds familiar, that kind of a fix, but it's crazy to think.
And I have no idea why.
Well, let's hope they do.
I'd just like to know more about these systems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're trying to protect these kinds of silicon circuits from being affected by radiation, you know, maybe the fix is not a software one, but rather, you know, you need to put some more metal shields on it. That's what I was thinking.
All right, well, we're going to leave it there. But thanks
for
raising all these questions. And, Kaza, do you have something to add, or...?
No, the caller pointed out that, yeah, some variants of these processors and memory modules do have radiation hardening. If that was included in the original design, yeah, it's something that we will probably find out more about in the future.
Okay.
We'll definitely look at this again.
We had some very long phone calls, so we have time for one more maybe. Let's make it a short one. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Go ahead, Alex.
I didn't realize how long RAM has been around, actually. I was just doing a little bit of digging on that, just thinking, like, was RAM really used, you know, in processors back in, you know, the 1980s, right? Because
mm-hmm.
especially since it go back to the 90s, and I remember when it was $1 a meg for RAM, right? I mean, it was, like, massively expensive back in, like, 1994. I know it was, like, $40 a meg, sorry. It used to be about a meg per dollar per meg hard drive space back then. But RAM actually goes back to the 1940s, apparently, was the first time of RAM being used inside modern microprocessors.
Did they call it RAM then?
They called it RAM then, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was apparently a Williams-Kilburn tube that stored bits of charged spots on a cathode ray tube screen, which could be read and written in any order, making it true random access memory.
Alex, I'm going to ask you to find me something written from the 1940s that references RAM, and you have until after New Year's to get me that, because I don't believe you. It's just I'd like to see that, because that sounds really cool.
It'd be interesting.
Gila, what do you have?
Oh, I was just going to ask if anyone ever put RAM in an old telephone that went together, like Ramo, Lemon, Ding Dong.
Come on
the phone, right?
Yeah, there's a phone call. Let's let's rush over to the phone. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, this will be so cool.
You got to speak up. We can barely hear you.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. That's better. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to ask, you said you're not going to be on YouTube for a few weeks. Why is that?
Well, if you must know, we are not going to be around, and the studio only exists when Kyle and I are around. So the studio is necessary for overtime. However, the radio show can be run by other people, and that's what's going to happen.
Oh, okay. And my other question is, are there any off-the-hook meetings in New Jersey? Do you know?
There are no off-the-hook meetings at 2600 meetings. That's what you're asking, I assume. Yes, there are meetings in New Jersey. Hang on a second. I've got an issue right here. And, of course, you can go to 2600.com/meetings to get an updated list. But let's see. In New Jersey, we have a meeting in a place called Bridgewater. Do you know where that is?
Okay.
I don't know where that is.
I do, yes.
Okay. Well, that's where the meeting is. It's at the Bridgewater Commons Mall. So.
Do you know what days the meetings are?
It's the first Friday of the month. About 5 p.m. is usually when they start.
The first Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. That was an easy phone call. That was such an easy phone call. I'm almost tempted to say, okay, we can fit one more. Because that was such an easy phone call, under the condition that the next phone call be easy as well. All right? 802-321-4225.
All right, yeah. Come in and be the last phone call of the year on this program.
Imagine that. That's an honor you'll carry for the rest of your life.
But, yes, anywhere you'd like to see a 2600 meeting, go to 2600.com/meetings. You can see the ones that exist. You can also see how to put together one of your own in a place that needs one.
You know what you can see on Saturday? A new episode of SNL, Alex. Yeah. Yeah. Live. NBC.
This show is still active?
Mm-hmm.
You're just messing with us now.
Yeah, now I'm just messing.
The funny thing is, and maybe somebody could tell me this, the show starts on NBC not at 11:30, not at 11:35, but at 11:29.
And 30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Why does it do that? And it ends a little bit after 1 o'clock. Like 102 or something.
102.
Why? Can somebody tell me why? I'm very curious.
Because I don't actually know. Probably because they can, partially to make sure that everything gets fit in and
I think
what have you.
It's padding, right? It's like so that you have something playing that's a part of that entire program. And as networks cut to pick up and then release it after the end of the hour or whatever, they vary widely. It's in so many markets. So you build a little like post and pre-roll of stuff, an extra minute or whatever, in case one station or somebody is a little slower or they have less at the top of that hour.
I think it's because it's a live show. There are some unpredictable things that could happen.
Yeah.
And that's what a buffer is good for.
That too.
So
you'd have to talk to a production director.
What's amazing is the same guy's been running it for the whole 50 years too.
Not the whole 50 years.
Oh, that's right. He took a couple of years off, didn't he?
He took 5 years off, yes.
Yeah.
There was also something interesting that happened in October of this year. The show started late after a football game, and the musical guest, well, host and musical guest that night, definitely said a word that could have incurred FCC fines, but because it was after 1 a.m.
Yes.
Eastern, because the show had run late.
And also, on the West Coast, they air it 3 hours later when it's not live, but some stations, including King in Seattle, air the live version too 3 hours earlier. So when that particular incident happened, a lot of people were afraid that they were going to get fined, but it turned out it happened after 10 o'clock their time, which
mm-hmm.
is at Safe Harbor, so they were okay.
Yeah,
if you're going to curse on SNL, do it after the first half hour.
It runs live,
yeah.
Coast to coast now.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah.
All right, we have one more phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Are you joking?
What?
There's no call.
You told me there was a call.
No, I didn't.
Well, you looked at the phone in a knowing way. I thought that's... Okay, 802.
I will have you know, I look at the phone whichever damn way I want.
All right.
Really, it's between me and the phone.
You have 2 minutes, caller. 802-321-4225. Don't make us wait.
So maybe the phone is looking at me.
We have nothing to say to each other.
What? Yeah. What else is going on? What do you got, Rob?
Well, I'm just really excited to learn who's going to be the final call of the year. But if nobody's going to be the final call of the year, then we can all just relax. And I will mention 2600 meetings. The New York one is happening at the Citigroup Center in the food court, 53rd Street and Lexington Avenue this Friday, starting around 5. Gets going maybe around 6
damn,
or 7.
That's a damn cool food court, by the way.
It really
mm-hmm.
is. They really spruced it up.
Yeah.
and very
happy.
Still,
are we doing predictions later in the month?
Oh, you know, I forgot about that, but yeah, we should. Thanks for reminding me.
I mean, we're on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
What's this?
This caller's called before.
Which caller is it?
It's that caller.
I don't know what that means. Are you talking about Rebel?
Rebel, yeah, he's back.
Okay, Rebel, if you're calling us again, you're going to get banned. All right? You're going to get banned for the next show, which means further in the new year. So you know the rules. Don't make us do this. In the future, I won't say this. We'll just ban you if you call us again. Of course, anyone who knows Rebel's phone number can get him banned as well. All right. Do we have another phone call, or is it the same one?
I can't tell. It's a different number.
All right.
So.
Well, I said what I said. Let's pick it up. And good evening. You're on Off Book Overtime. All right, Rebel, you're banned. Rebel, you just got yourself banned for the first show of next year. So congratulations and good night.
It's going to come in a week late to the new year.
All right, we'll give it 1.5 more minutes, and then we're going to sign up for the night.
Yeah, we're really trying to take calls.
Alex, go ahead.
Man, how do we know that wasn't just somebody else calling? Playing a recording.
Are you his lawyer? Are you his lawyer now?
I'm just raising some reasonable doubts here.
It's not reasonable at all.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle could combat that by saying, no, it was the same number that we ordinarily see. But then somebody could be spoofing his number and spoofing his voice at the
this
same
could
time.
All be altered reality. We don't know. We just don't know.
Okay. I could argue it either way.
Contemporaneous notes, if we need to revisit this.
Someone please remind me next year that Rebel is banned, too, because sometimes
I'm on
I forget.
It.
You're on
Don't
it.
Worry.
Thank you.
We'll remember.
You could be the real-life moderator as well as a YouTube moderator. That would be very helpful.
I want to go back to this issue of Ram appearing in a 1940s publication because I think I found something. It's called The Storage System for Use with Binary Digital Computing Machines by F.C. Williams and Mr. T. Kilburn, which was from March 4th, 1948, and located in the Proceedings of the Institution of Electrical Engineers.
His initials were F.C.?
F.C.
What, was it Federal Communications? Was that his first middle name?
It might have been. Yeah, that's right. F.C. Williams and T. Kilburn. I don't know what any of those letters stand for, though.
Well, the FCC was named after this guy. We can say that.
And by the way, I texted it to you, Rob, because for whatever reason, I was in the chat, but I couldn't post in the chat. But you could post that article in the chat if people are interested. There's a link to a PDF that I sent you.
Well, no one can post links to the chat except the chat's moderator, which is our Gila here.
You can't post links in the chat? I didn't know that.
No.
To cut down on spam.
Well, you can do that. Like you can make special exception or grant a dispensation to somebody to do this.
Also, I would like to point out that a bunch of people in the chat are calling for Rebel to have let his phone call through. So I would like to posit that if you would like to speak to Rebel, feel free to put your phone number in the chat and Rebel can call you instead of us.
Okay, are you sure that's not Rebel posting that?
Unless he has several different accounts going right now, which I wouldn't put past him, quite frankly. But
consider who we're dealing with.
You make a very good point.
Yeah.
But yes, if anybody would like to talk to Rebel right now, just feel free to drop your number in the chat, and Rebel can call you.
Well, while we're waiting for anything else to happen, I will mention that we won't be doing overtime for the next few weeks, but we will still be doing the radio hour on WBAI. So tune in at 99.5 FM or WBAI.org at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday evenings. And you can hear a version of the show without listener interaction via phone calls, but with what we hope will be some good stuff nonetheless.
Jane, you ignorant slut. You see, you guys are doubled over on the floor, and Alex is just stoic as always. And Alex, you know, your life could be so much more enjoyable if you knew what that meant.
I thought your neighbor came over or something. I had no idea. No.
Joan, not Jane, so no.
I always get it mixed up.
Well, isn't that special?
No, you're not really that fond of her.
No? So. Nothing on that either. Isn't that special? Guys, you must have some taglines you can use here.
Was that Church Lady?
Yeah, Church Lady. Do you know Church Lady? Debbie Downer? Do you know Debbie Downer?
Man, I've heard the expression.
Guy just bought a boat? No?
Yeah.
You are a cultural desert here. Do you realize that? It's
yeah,
so sad.
Just, that sounds funny, though. That's,
yeah.
Oh, that's
you know what? It is funny. There is humor here. You are right about that.
Okay, what up with that? Are you familiar with what up with that?
Mm-hmm. No.
What up with that?
Could it be Satan? Okay, however, I will point out, just to kind of sympathize with Alex for a minute, I'm going to admit something, which is, I have never seen any of the Star Wars movies, any of them.
Honestly, that, to me, is, that's not easy to do, and I respect that. Because that's a conscious decision. That's not just, you know, being oblivious. That's saying, you know what? This is playing. I'm not going to see it. And then saying that again in 3 years. And then another 3 years. And then another 30 years after that. However many times, you know, we had to do this. And it got kind of ridiculous, too. But SNL, they're over 1,000 episodes. I'm sorry.
There's not too many.
Thing.
There's so many. That's why I said there were 4,000, because it's just there's so many sketches that they've done that are so familiar. I think Alex knows more of it than he realized. He's probably watched several episodes just in sketches and clips and you know, references.
Wild and crazy guys.
Is that said in like a Russian accent or something like that?
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard people say that before. I never knew from what it came, though.
Dick in a Box, Alex? Are you familiar with Dick in a Box?
I have seen that. I've seen that, the Dick in a Box.
Of course, that's the one you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, like, I didn't know that it was SNL. I had no idea. I just knew it as a skit.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. No?
Well, whatever you got to tell yourself.
No, that's...
Get through the day, you know?
The thing is, like, not having seen Star Wars, I mean, the Star Wars movies, the original three are what, like 8 hours of material, 7-8 hours. You know, if you count the prequels and the sequels, that's, you know, maybe 2-3 dozen hours of material versus Saturday Night Live, which has thousands of hours in the public, you know, in the public pop culture sphere. And Alex, you could just jump on with the next episode. I don't think you have to catch up with all the 50 years worth up till now, and to understand what's going on.
And it's
going to
be good. Melissa McCarthy's hosting this week.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Spicy.
Don't look up who that is.
No, spicy.
You don't know who Melissa McCarthy is? Oh my God! Here we go again.
Really don't. I'm terrible with all this stuff.
Oh wow!
I'm not as up with pop culture as you guys. I'm not as good, I guess.
Well, we are going to send you a bunch of links and assign you a bunch of homework after we're off the air tonight.
Okay. Yeah, because I think you should leave. And so, by the way, that, last week we were watching that in Pennsylvania, and my son and I were watching it. My wife is always suspicious of anything that we're watching together that she doesn't know. So she comes over and she asks, "What are you watching?" And then the doctor says to her, "I think you should leave." And she just looked at me like, did he actually just say that to me? How, you know? And I was just like a little bit confused by
the
whole situation.
That's why they named it that, I'll bet.
Yes, maybe for that exact situation. Because I forgot the name of the show that we were watching. And it caused me a lot of confusion. Like, did he actually just say that? And then I realized, oh, my God, no, it was the name of the show. And then I had to go explain that to my wife, that he wasn't being extremely rude. But I just forgot at that moment that it was the name of the show. And, yeah, she didn't believe it.
And he was severely punished, and
yes.
I'm just realizing it now. Well, you know, that's why I always wanted to make a movie called Closed or For Rent, because those things on the marquee outside would confuse the hell out of people and piss off the theater.
That would be fun. Yeah. So, yeah.
Excellent. No, yeah, like the old cereal ad, you know, what are you having? Nothing, honey.
Or, you know, that the Nirvana album that really broke through to the mainstream.
Oh, yes. What album was that?
Never mind.
They all broke through the mainstream.
I'll find out later.
Well, it's Never Mind. It wasn't that one. It was, what was the one after that?
No, it was Never Mind.
No, now you're thinking of something else.
Oh, I forgot.
That's not on the Run album.
Well, this has been a fun show to end the year on.
It certainly has,
We can't find the off button. That's what the problem. I was searching for it. Oh, there it is. Okay. I got it. All right, yeah. So thanks, everybody. We will see you again on Overtime in, I don't know, at some point. Not this year.
Yes, we've worked very hard. We've had some discussions, and this is where we part.
Yes. Next week, there'll be regular Off the Hook at 7 p.m. on WBAI and also on the Internet. So write to us, oth@2600.com, and we'll see you next time. Good night.